What does it mean to truly exist? Not just to live, but to be in the fullest sense. This question, seemingly abstract yet profoundly personal, forms the heart of Heidegger's revolutionary work. While science busies itself with facts about specific things, Heidegger dares to reopen philosophy's most fundamental question: what does it mean for anything to be at all? This question had been forgotten since ancient Greece, buried under centuries of philosophical assumptions. Imagine suddenly realizing that the most basic aspect of your existence, the very fact that you are, remains mysterious and unexplored. This is the electric shock that being and time delivered to philosophy, challenging us to rethink our entire relationship with reality. When you grab a doorknob, you don't analyze it, you simply use it. This reveals something profound. We aren't isolated minds observing an external world, but beings already meaningfully engaged with things. Heidegger calls this fundamental state being in the world. While using a hammer, the tool practically disappears as you focus on the task. Only when it breaks do you become aware of it as an object. This shows our primary relationship with things is as involved participants, not detached observers. The world isn't merely a collection of objects, but a meaningful context of relationships and possibilities. This insight transforms self-understanding. You're not a mind trapped in a body trying to bridge a gap to the external world. You're already meaningfully engaged in projects, relationships, and concerns. When absorbed in conversation, playing music, or solving problems, you experience this primordial unity that precedes any subject-object division. Why do we often feel like we're living someone else's life? Heidegger's concept of das Man, the they, explains this feeling. We naturally understand ourselves through social norms, doing what one does, thinking what they say. This isn't mere peer pressure, it's how we make sense of our existence. Even authentic self-expression on social media follows predictable patterns as we curate our lives according to implicit rules about success and happiness. The they isn't an external group, it's how we exist when avoiding authentic choice. This social conformity serves a purpose by relieving us from constantly making decisions from scratch. However, this convenience means adopting goals without questioning if they truly matter to us. We pursue careers, relationships, and lifestyles because that's what one does, not from genuine choice. The they is most powerful when invisible. When did you last question why you want what you want? Are your ambitions truly yours or absorbed from your environment? This isn't about rejecting social norms. It's about recognizing their influence to make more authentic choices. Have you ever experienced a moment when everything suddenly seemed strange and meaningless? Not depression, but a disorienting sense that the normal world has become uncanny. Heidegger identifies this as anxiety, angst, not a psychological disorder, but a revealing mood that strips away familiar interpretations. Unlike fear, which targets specific threats, anxiety has no definite object. In anxiety, the significant structure that normally makes things intelligible collapses. Your smartphone appears as just a strange glass rectangle. Your job title feels like an arbitrary label. This uncanny experience reveals something crucial. The world's meaning isn't fixed, but depends on our projects and possibilities. When these collapse in anxiety, we confront the groundlessness of existence itself. There's no ultimate foundation. We must create meaning through our choices. Though disturbing, anxiety can be liberating. It pulls us from absorption in the they and confronts us with our freedom. When conventional interpretations lose their grip, we're thrown back upon our responsibility for existing, creating an opening for more authentic choices. Everyone dies, but not me, at least not yet. This evasion characterizes our typical relationship with death. We acknowledge mortality intellectually, but don't truly incorporate this knowledge into our lives. Death remains abstract, something that happens to others. Heidegger challenges this evasion. Death isn't merely an event at life's end, it's a way of being that shapes our existence from the beginning. We are being toward death, existing in relation to our ultimate possibility of impossibility. Death is uniquely personal, non-relational, unavoidable, and uncertain in its timing. Authentic being toward death means incorporating awareness of finiteness into how we project possibilities, not morbid obsession. Acknowledging our limited time transforms how we choose. Consider how differently you might live if you genuinely accepted your finiteness. Which relationships would you prioritize? What pursuits would you abandon? Confronting mortality doesn't diminish life, but intensifies it, revealing what truly matters. In a culture that denies death through distraction and technological salvation promises, Heidegger's analysis remains profoundly countercultural. At the core of Heidegger's analysis lies a profound insight. Our fundamental mode of existence is care, sorge. Not merely an emotion, but an ontological structure. Care unifies our existence as beings concerned about our own being and engaged with the world. Care comprises three essential moments: ahead of itself, projection into possibilities, already being in, thrownness into a situation, and being alongside, absorption in entities. This structure shows how we simultaneously face the future, exist within our given past, and engage with present concerns. In everyday life, this appears when pursuing education. You project future possibilities, operate within given circumstances, and handle immediate tasks, all unified aspects of your existence as care. This analysis challenges both idealist views, prioritizing consciousness, and materialist accounts, reducing humans to physical processes. Neither captures how we exist as beings already involved in a world, concerned about our being, and projected toward possibilities. When cooking, you're not just processing sensory data, you're caring about nourishment, expressing cultural values, and creating meaning. Care provides a more fundamental understanding of human existence than traditional categories like mind, body, or reason, passion, showing how our existence is characterized by involvement, concern, and temporal extension. Heidegger's radical insight is that time isn't merely a sequence of nows where events occur. It's the fundamental structure enabling human existence. We don't exist in time, we exist as time. Authentic temporality comprises three unified ecstasies: future, having been, and present. The future has primacy. We understand ourselves through projected possibilities. This projection occurs from a situation we've been thrown into, having been, enabling our encounter with entities in the present. This ecstatic temporality differs from the ordinary conception of time as a linear sequence. The vulgar understanding of time as an infinite series of nows derives from a leveling down of primordial temporality when we focus on measuring time. Time expands or contracts based on meaningful engagement. Your past shapes your projected possibilities. Future possibilities influence your present experience. These phenomena reveal the fundamental temporality constituting your existence. Heidegger challenges our modern obsession with managing time as a resource. Time isn't something we have, but something we are. The question isn't how to find more time, but how to exist more authentically as temporal beings, fully engaged with our inherited past, open to possibilities, and present to what matters.